Listening test. Task 1. You are going to listen to Rainbow Chan talking about a tradition of her country of origin. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 6 with the sentence endings A to I. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
For the 2018 Sydney Biennale, a project called Our Songs invited people to perform the special song that connects them to their family and culture. And at Life Matters, we heard some of these songs and the stories behind them. Rainbow Chan is an indie pop singer in Sydney, and with the help of her mother, Irene, she's learnt the songs of her relatives in a small village in Hong Kong.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
我的一个歌仔.
My name is Rainbow Chan and my mum is Irene Zheng. We are from Hong Kong, but we moved to Australia in 1996, so I've spent most of my life here in Sydney. My mum is from the indigenous clan called Wai Tao Yan. They speak a dialect, a variation of the Cantonese language called Wai Tao Wa. So Mum and I went back to Hong Kong last year in 2017 and just hung out with some aunties over there who had embarked on a two-year preservation project to interview different elders of the community and do field recordings of them singing the songs. So it was a really beautiful hot day and we just walked around the village together, looked at the different trees and the different flowers that they would usually pick off and walk around and sing these songs back in the traditional days. And then I feel very lucky that they were kind enough to share this knowledge with me. And we kind of just sat around the dinner table after a long walk throughout the village and just drank like sesame dessert soup, learnt the songs together, listened to a CD that had all the field recordings on it, went through the lyrics, and my mom and my auntie, they did the translations for me. Ideally, I'll be able to pass it on to my children one day. That's what I really would love, and for them to be able to sing it back to my mom would just be my dream come true. This song is called Gao Gao Zai. It is a lullaby, and it is about a grandmother who is trying to rock the baby to sleep. She talks about the different biscuits that she's going to bring over. And then it's funny because once she gives them away to the brothers and the sisters, everyone walks away and doesn't even thank her.
For the 2018 Sydney Biennale, a project called Our Songs invited people to perform the special song that connects them to their family and culture. And at Life Matters, we heard some of these songs and the stories behind them. Rainbow Chan is an indie pop singer in Sydney, and with the help of her mother, Irene, she's learnt the songs of her relatives in a small village in Hong Kong.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
Our songs.
我的一个歌仔.
My name is Rainbow Chan and my mum is Irene Zheng. We are from Hong Kong, but we moved to Australia in 1996, so I've spent most of my life here in Sydney. My mum is from the indigenous clan called Wai Tao Yan. They speak a dialect, a variation of the Cantonese language called Wai Tao Wa. So mum and I went back to Hong Kong last year in 2017 and just hung out with some aunties over there who had embarked on a two-year preservation project to interview different elders of the community and do field recordings of them singing the songs. So it was a really beautiful hot day and we just walked around the village together, looked at the different trees and the different flowers that they would usually pick off and walk around and sing these songs back in the traditional days. And then I feel very lucky that they were kind enough to share this knowledge with me, and we kind of just sat around the dinner table after a long walk throughout the village and just drank like sesame dessert soup, learnt the songs together, listened to a CD that had all the field recordings on it, went through the lyrics, and my mom and my auntie, they did the translations for me. Ideally, I'll be able to pass it on to my children one day. That's what I really would love, and for them to be able to sing it back to my mom would just be my dream come true. This song is called Gao Gao Zai. It is a lullaby, and it is about a grandmother who is trying to rock the baby to sleep. She talks about the different biscuits that she's going to bring over. And then it's funny because once she gives them away to the brothers and the sisters, everyone walks away and doesn't even thank her.
Task 2. You are going to listen to Diane speaking about the organisation she is a member of. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, answer the questions 1 to 9 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Hi, my name's Diane. I'm a member of Lady Circle, which is a charity organisation. I first joined in Innsbruck, and I joined in Innsbruck because a friend of mine suggested it to me. And she suggested it so that I would get to know kind of the community in Innsbruck, and also so that I wasn't just, you know, studying all of the time, that I was doing something else. And then when I moved to Vienna, Lady Circle is international. You've got lots in Austria. I then moved from the Innsbruck Lady Circle to the Vienna Lady Circle. And in Vienna, I'm actually president of the Ladies Circle. And then in May, I will stop being president. It's only for a year. And in Ladies Circle, it's an organization that puts on different events So charity events or cabarets, and from that money that we make, we donate that money to specific people in need. For example, if something really bad's happened and they can't afford a washing machine, or it's often for specific people for specific things. Lady Circle is a big international organisation. It was first established in Britain, I think, in the 1930s, and it's all over the world. In America, I don't think there's hardly any. I think there's only one. But in Africa and India, there's hundreds, thousands. It's, wow, it's really, really big. And tonight, we've actually got an event which we're putting on. And it's an improvised theatre, so it's going to be in German, though. And this improvised theatre is where you don't have a script. They don't already have a plan of what they're going to do. They normally ask the audience, has someone got a favourite book or a favourite film? And they take lines and they take things from different objects in people's bags. I don't know what they're exactly going to do. And they, from these things, they kind of take 2 minutes and kind of huddle together and then talk to each other and say what they're going to do. And then they put on a theatre production. I think it's going to last about an hour and a half, just from these ideas. It's a little bit crazy. And I've been to one before and it was really, really good fun. And it was just, wow, what they could do, it's really, really cool. And so that's going to be tonight, and it starts at 7:30, and the tickets are €15, and that also includes like a welcome prosecco, or you can also have orange juice. And yeah, I think it takes about an hour and a half, so 90 minutes. And yeah, so, and then the money from that will also go to a woman in need as well. Hi, my name's Diane. I'm a member of Lady Circle, which is a charity organisation. I first joined in Innsbruck, and I joined in Innsbruck because a friend of mine suggested it to me. And she suggested it so that I would get to know kind of the community in Innsbruck, and also so that I wasn't just, you know, studying all of the time, that I was doing something else. And then when I moved to Vienna, Lady Circle is international. You've got lots in Austria. I then moved from the Innsbruck Lady Circle to the Vienna Lady Circle. And in Vienna, I'm actually president of the Ladies Circle. And then in May, I will stop being president. It's only for a year. And in Ladies Circle, it's an organization that puts on different events, so charity events or cabarets, and from that money that we make, we donate that money to specific people in need. For example, if something really bad's happened and they can't afford a washing machine, or it's often for specific people for specific things. Lady Circle is a big international organisation. It was first established in Britain, I think, in the 1930s, and it's all over the world. In America, I don't think there's hardly any. I think there's only one. But in Africa and India, there's hundreds, thousands. It's, wow, it's really, really big. And tonight, we've actually got an event which we're putting on. And it's an improvised theatre, so it's going to be in German, though. And this improvised theatre is where you don't have a script. They don't already have a plan of what they're going to do. They normally ask the audience, has someone got a favourite book or a favourite film? And they take lines and they take things from different objects in people's bags. I don't know what they're exactly going to do. And they, from these things, they kind of take 2 minutes and kind of huddle together and then talk to each other and say what they're going to do. And then they put on a theatre production, I think it's going to last about an hour and a half, just from these ideas. It's a little bit crazy. And I've been to one before, and it was really, really good fun. And it was just, wow, what they could do, it's really, really cool. And so that's going to be tonight, and it starts at 7:30. And the tickets are €15. And that also includes like a welcome Prosecco, or you can also have orange juice. And yeah, I think it takes about an hour and a half, so 90 minutes. And yeah, so, and then the money from that will also go to a woman in need as well.
Task 3. You are going to listen to Rachel talking about her life in an African country. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, answer the questions 1 to 10 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Hello, my name is Rachel Brandt. I'm from England. I was born in Cambridge, but now I live in Namibia. I came to Namibia over 10 years ago as a student to do research on giraffe in one of the national parks. And while I was here, I met my husband, who is the son of a farming family. He was also working in the national park as a student, doing a practical year. A couple of years after we met, we got married and I decided to settle in Namibia with my husband. And first of all, we worked managing a large nature reserve. And later we settled on his parents' farm, where we help run the cattle and sheep farm. And we also have a guest farm for tourists. So we run a guest farm, and the people that come to the guest farm are mostly from Europe, and they come to Namibia and specifically to our guest farm to see the wildlife in the nearby nature reserve, which is Etosha National Park. Etosha is famous for being a very large park, very open, with large plains where you can see lots of plains animals like zebra and oryx, but also the big animals like elephant and lion and rhinoceros. The staff that we employ on our guest farm are from the Haikum Bushmen people. The Bushmen in Namibia are made up of a number of different Bushmen tribes. The Haikum Bushmen are the ones specifically from the Etosha area. Many of the languages in Namibia, like the Bushman languages, have click sounds in them. This makes them very unusual to hear, but also very difficult to learn. Namibia, in general, has a good relationship between the white people who live there, who are English or German or Afrikaans, and the native people that we work alongside with. Namibia is a beautiful country, but it's very dry. Much of it is made up of desert. We don't get a lot of rain, and the rain that we do get is concentrated in just a few months. The rain can start in November or December, but often only in January, and it usually ends around March, April. So all the farmers and all of the animals, indeed, in Namibia are always waiting for the rain. It's a very anxious time, and many years we are disappointed and we get a drought. The animals manage to cope quite well with the drought, but for the farmers in Namibia, it is always a very difficult time. The prices of their cattle and their sheep will go down, and they will have to buy extra feed. Namibia is a very stable country with a good democracy and is quite a pleasant country to live in, very safe and with a very nice climate, hot and dry in the summer and not too cold in the winter. Hello, my name is Rachel Brandt. I'm from England. I was born in Cambridge, but now I live in Namibia. I came to Namibia over 10 years ago as a student to do research on giraffe in one of the national parks. And while I was here, I met my husband, who is the son of a farming family. He was also working in the national park as a student, doing a practical year. A couple of years after we met, we got married and I decided to settle in Namibia with my husband. And first of all, we worked managing a large nature reserve. And later we settled on his parents' farm, where we help run the cattle and sheep farm. And we also have a guest farm for tourists. So we run a guest farm, and the people that come to the guest farm are mostly from Europe, and they come to Namibia and specifically to our guest farm to see the wildlife in the nearby nature reserve, which is Etosha National Park. Etosha is famous for being a very large park, very open, with large plains, where you can see lots of plains animals like zebra and oryx, but also the big animals like elephant and lion and rhinoceros. The staff that we employ on our guest farm are from the Haikum Bushmen people. The Bushmen in Namibia are made up of a number of different Bushmen tribes. The Haikum Bushmen are the ones specifically from the Etosha area. Many of the languages in Namibia, like the Bushman languages, have click sounds in them. This makes them very unusual to hear, but also very difficult to learn. Namibia, in general, has a good relationship between the white people who live there, who are English or German or Afrikaans, and the native people that we work alongside with. Namibia is a beautiful country, but it's very dry. Much of it is made up of desert. We don't get a lot of rain, and the rain that we do get is concentrated in just a few months. The rain can start in November or December, but often only in January, and it usually ends around March, April. So all the farmers and all of the animals, indeed, in Namibia are always waiting for the rain. It's a very anxious time, and many years we are disappointed and we get a drought. The animals manage to cope quite well with the drought, but for the farmers in Namibia, it is always a very difficult time. The prices of their cattle and their sheep will go down, and they will have to buy extra feed. Namibia is a very stable country with a good democracy, and is quite a pleasant country to live in, very safe, and with a very nice climate, hot and dry in the summer, and not too cold in the winter.
Task 4. You are going to listen to 5 young people talking about school and education after school. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the speakers with their statements A to I. There are 2 extra statements that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers. Speaker 1.
My twin sister Hallie and I have spent our lives sharing bedrooms, clothes, friends, everything. Brown University has been my dream school since I was 7 years old. I was over the moon when I was accepted, until my twin decided to go as well. I know I sound selfish, but hey, I was upset. I wanted something that was uniquely mine, which would have been Brown. My own college experience on the other side of the country with completely new people, where I could gain independence from my twin.
Speaker 2.
My 18-year-old sister is studying for medical school. My 14-year-old brother already designs programs with my dad, a software engineer. My aunt, a doctor, my uncle, an engineer. And me? I'm interested in public affairs. My mom regularly asks me in the car, "Do you know what you want to be when you grow up?" I used to answer, "A lawyer, a journalist, a politician." But we got into arguments so often that now I just tell her I don't really know yet. I know my parents want the best for me, and I keep their suggestions in mind.
Speaker 3.
My dad was recently driving me to school when we started arguing about my future. "No, no, no," he said. "People who major in arts aren't well-educated and won't make enough money. Why don't you major in computer science like your cousins?" Now, I understand where his worries are coming from. I'm going against my family's expectations. They're worried that I won't be able to be financially secure. And art isn't as valued in my family than, say, STEM majors. But while this might all be true, I'm passionate and driven when it comes to art.
Speaker 4.
My parents immigrated to the U.S. from India to pursue a better life than their parents and to give me a better life than them. Specifically, sending me to an elite private school with a pricey tuition. This was so important that they accepted the yearly 5-figure payment, even if it wasn't always easy. I can't remember the last time we've gone on a vacation as a family. I know that not everyone has the opportunities I've been given. For many families, public school is the only option, and there are some great ones in the Bay Area, but my prestigious education is important to my parents. So instead of being bitter about the cost, I'm trying to give them their money's worth. There's no way to precisely measure what an education is worth, but the money spent puts a pressure on me to do well, for myself and my parents.
Speaker 5.
I remember filling out my college application. As I scrolled down, I noticed the submission fee, $70. I was shocked that it cost that much just to apply. I thought if I can't afford this fee, how am I going to pay for a 4-year university? So I decided to opt for a more affordable way, community college. I hope to transfer to UC Berkeley soon, but I know I'll need help to make it work.
Speaker 1.
My twin sister Hallie and I have spent our lives sharing bedrooms, clothes, friends, everything. Brown University has been my dream school since I was 7 years old. I was over the moon when I was accepted, until my twin decided to go as well. I know I sound selfish, but hey, I was upset. I wanted something that was uniquely mine, which would have been Brown. My own college experience on the other side of the country with completely new people, where I could gain independence from my twin.
Speaker 2.
My 18-year-old sister is studying for medical school. My 14-year-old brother already designs programs with my dad, a software engineer. My aunt, a doctor, my uncle, an engineer. And me? I'm interested in public affairs. My mom regularly asks me in the car, "Do you know what you want to be when you grow up?" I used to answer, "A lawyer, a journalist, a politician." But we got into arguments so often that now I just tell her, "I don't really know yet." I know my parents want the best for me, and I keep their suggestions in mind.
Speaker 3.
My dad was recently driving me to school when we started arguing about my future. "No, no, no," he said. "People who major in arts aren't well-educated and won't make enough money. Why don't you major in computer science like your cousins?" Now, I understand where his worries are coming from. I'm going against my family's expectations. They're worried that I won't be able to be financially secure. And art isn't as valued in my family than, say, STEM majors. But while this might all be true, I'm passionate and driven when it comes to art.
Speaker 4.
My parents immigrated to the U.S. from India to pursue a better life than their parents and to give me a better life than them, specifically sending me to an elite private school with a pricey tuition. This was so important that they accepted the yearly five-figure payment, even if it wasn't always easy. I can't remember the last time we've gone on a vacation as a family. I know that not everyone has the opportunities I've been given. For many families, public school is the only option, and there are some great ones in the Bay Area. But my prestigious education is important to my parents. So instead of being bitter about the cost, I'm trying to give them their money's worth. There's no way to precisely measure what an education is worth, but the money spent puts a pressure on me to do well, for myself and my parents.
Speaker 5.
I remember filling out my college application. As I scrolled down, I noticed the submission fee, $70. I was shocked that it cost that much just to apply. I thought, if I can't afford this fee, how am I going to pay for a four-year university? So I decided to opt for a more affordable way, community college. I hope to transfer to UC Berkeley soon, but I know I'll need help to make it work.
This is the end of the listening test.